Hi, I'm Michael. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm also the missions director. As a church, we are committed to answer God's call to reach every nation. I hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year to everyone. Hope you had a good holiday season and good rest. Are you all ready to go back to work? resounding yes, right? But anyway, I wanted to make mention about our fasting for this week, Monday to Friday. And there's also going to be a sign up for a prayer chain. We'll do 24 hours of prayer. And we will, every day, there's going to be different prayer items rather that are going to be the focus. The first day would be the nations, like missions. One of which we'll pray also for Kazakhstan. And then we'll pray for the Philippines. We'll pray for the church. We'll pray for the next generation, for the campuses, and then for a personal breakthrough. So that's the 5 days that we're going to have. Okay. Well, I know it's New Year. As I said, we start a new series next week. But I guess we're going to preface it by the message that we're going to have today. Because as we talk about in the new year, I know that many of us have set some goals. Anybody here set some goals? Raise your hand. Okay. Or even just a desire to believe God for things this year. Raise your hand. Okay. And there are several things that we want to be able to ask the Lord for this year. I saw a meme online, and somebody put it this way. I just spent 45 minutes on the treadmill. Tomorrow, my goal is to turn it on, okay? And so I know that there are health goals that we have. There are things that we want to be able to hit on and achieve this year. Now, I think for us, for you and for me, we laugh about goals sometimes because we've failed at them, or we failed meeting them many times, like New Year's resolutions, right? And so I remember the 1st of January, usually we do it the 31st, but January 1, we did it as a family, and we did it differently this year. What we did was, we wrote down all the things we were thankful to God for in 2023, but at the same time for 2024, we had different goals that we had. Physical. How many of you know goals are important? Goals are good. Sometimes because we diss that and we laugh about it. But it's good because if you don't have a goal, you're definitely going to meet that goal, okay, of not having one. But it's better to have a goal and, you know, at least half meet it. This January when we sat down together, what was your goal physically, right? Spiritually. What was the other one? Emotionally, intellectually, relationally, and ministerially. Okay, and so those were 6 things that we had to write down and said, okay, for health, you know, whether that's consistent exercise, emotional, whether that's emotional connection or getting rid of just gunk in your heart, right? Intellectual, being able to read more books, and just different things that we wrote down. And I think that's good. But I have one proposal for all of us today as a goal for this year, right? And it's going to be your goal this year. It's going to be your goal next year. It's always going to be your goal every single year. Okay? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, I forgot to show you this, okay? There were different goals that I saw online, okay? My New Year's resolution is to procrastinate. I'll start tomorrow. Or to not procrastinate. I'll start tomorrow. Okay, exercise. My right to eat more chocolates. All right. I will perfect the art of looking busy while doing nothing. Okay, and all those who work in the office say amen. Okay. Master the art of strategic bathroom break during long meetings. Anybody here do that? You have strategic times to get out of that meeting. Okay. And then commit to setting a new record for the most consecutive days binge watching my favorite TV series, because dedication should be celebrated. These were just funny ones I read. I read online. But anyway, in Philippians chapter 3, this is our text for today. This is Paul speaking to the church in Philippi. And he said, I want to know Christ Yes, to know the power of the resurrection and participation in his sufferings. Becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which for Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Could we bow for a moment of prayer? Lord, we commit to you this time as we study the word. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us understand what Paul is actually saying here. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would drop application in our hearts today. We pray, Lord God, that it would not just be information, but transformational for all of us. I pray, Father God, for wisdom from the Spirit of God. I pray that you would open our hearts, God. I open our minds. I come against the spirit that what's that word? Whatever that would try to distract us or even get us out of the spirit of slumber. I pray that you would bring us out of that, Lord, today. You, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would keep us focused as we listen to the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, the context here, just to give us a background, Paul was speaking to the church in Philippi. He wrote them in around AD 62. He's been a Christian he's met Christ 30 years prior. About 30 years, he's been walking with Jesus every single day, serving Jesus. And so now he writes the church in Philippi because he wanted to appreciate the love that he has received from them, the gifts that he has received from them, but also he wanted to encourage them to keep their eyes on Christ. Yes, there's persecution, there's difficult times, there are circumstances that, you know, will try to distract them, but they need to keep their eyes on the prize. And that's what Paul was talking to the church in Philippi. Encourage them to keep their eyes on Jesus. And so in verse 10, right, this is what he said. I want to know Christ. And the word here, know, in its original language, is not just informational, but experiential. It's not just I know about Christ. It's not just about, you know, just the different things that, you know, the characteristics of Christ and who he is. But I actually personally know him, and I want to know him better by experience, right? And so many of us know, you know, different people about them, right? You know, I don't know, Taylor Swift or whoever, okay? Whoever celebrity might be there, but if you pick up the phone and try to call them, they won't pick up because you don't have a relationship, right? And so you and I today, right, that's what Paul was encouraging us. Yes, we know about Christ, but we want to know him experientially. And after 30 years, imagine this. After 30 years of walking with Christ, this is still his heart's desire. It's not to plant more churches. It's not to preach the gospel more. And surely that's still his heart. But he says on top of that list is still to know Christ after knowing him for 30 years. And so he says, not just that, as I want to know Christ experientially, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and to participate in his sufferings. How many of you know what a goal, right? To suffer with Christ. Okay, I woke up this morning, I just want to suffer. Okay, none of us do that, right? It's like, it's not something that, okay, my faith goal this year is that I would suffer more. My desire every single day is that I would suffer. And this is what he had. He said, I want to know Christ even in suffering. Think about that for a moment. Has that ever been your prayer? I don't think that's ever been somebody's prayer. It's not a normal prayer we pray. Okay. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, Paul gave an invitation to Timothy and to the church. He says, join me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Join me in suffering. You know, how many of you love invitations to parties? You love invitations to celebrations or surprise or salubong if somebody's birthday, right? You like that. Okay, but to be invited to suffer, that's not an invitation we all welcome, right? And so that's what Paul was saying here. Now it says in verse 12, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived. And so there's a self-awareness and a self-assessment. He says, okay, I've been walking with Jesus for 30 years. Okay, I have known him. I have seen his miracles, right? I have heard his voice on the road to Damascus. I have seen just the signs and the wonders, but I'm not there yet. Now, if you argue from the greater to the lesser, right? You hear this, and the one who is an apostle, the one who is one of the best Christians we know, somebody who has heard the voice of God, somebody who has seen miracles and signs and wonders, who wrote almost, not quite, 2/3 of the New Testament, and yet he says, I have not arrived. How many of you know we too can't declare this to ourselves that we have arrived? None of us can. And I think it's a good practice to just assess ourselves spiritually. Where are you this year compared to last year? Are you growing? Now, obviously, we haven't arrived yet, but hopefully, we're inching forward towards the goal. Are you stronger in your walk with Jesus this year? Or have you taken a step back? Where are you? It's a good spiritual assessment time as we start the year. Right? And he likens it to a race. And you think about what he said, I press on. It sounds like he's using the metaphor of a race. You know, the start of the race is when we're born again, right? The track of the race is the will of God. The requirement of the race is obedience to the word of God. The rules is God's word, okay? And yet the strength to be able to fulfill and finish the race is the grace of God. It's the grace of God that will bring us through it. The finish line is Jesus himself, okay? It's not more churches. It's not, you know, a bigger congregation. It's not more small groups. It's not more. It's Jesus. And so as we get into the next verse, okay, he says here, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. I forget what is behind, okay? And so his goal, Lord, so that I would become like you. My goal, Jesus, is you. My prize, Jesus, is you, right? And I want to be like you, Christ-likeness. That's our goal for this year and next year and year after next and year after next after that, right? Every single year, your goal. And it may change in terms of practical things, okay, or specific, unique, nuances per person. But every single person, that's your goal every year, Jesus, right? And so he says, forget what is behind. Now, the word that was used here, forget, okay, is to neglect and to no longer care for. It's not just a passive way of, oh, I forgot. I forgot Christ, okay, or I forgot the past. Oh, nakalimutan ko na yung nakaraan. I forgot what happened to me 10 years ago. It's not a passive kind of forgetting. It's a neglect and a no longer caring for it. It's a refuse or a refusal to focus on the past. And that's what he's saying here. Forget what is behind. Get rid of that in your mind. In other words, don't focus that. Now, does that mean you'll actually forget? No, there are things you can never forget. There are things that are stamped in your heart, especially the bad things, the traumatic things, or maybe even just the things that have happened to you that are bad experiences. But he says, don't dwell on that. He says, don't stay there. He says, don't camp there. Refuse to cause it to pull you back, to keep you held back. Everybody following me? And this is so important for us, even as we enter into the new year. Paul is saying, refuse with all your heart to focus on this thing. Okay? Now, you see, when you think about this, what is he actually trying to say? Now, when you forget the past, okay, how many of you drive? Raise your hand. You drive, okay? Those of you who drive, right? I mean, you keep your eye on the road. Now, the rear view mirror is helpful. It really is. But you can't keep your eye on the rearview mirror all the time. Why? Because constantly looking at your rearview mirror will not only prevent you from marveling about what's up ahead, but also be dangerous for it may potentially cause you to fall off a cliff. And using this metaphor, if we stay focused on what is behind, we miss the marvelous things that God has for us 2024. You're going to sound like Eeyore.
2023 was so bad.
Diba? Parang you're just stuck there. And listen, nobody wants to hang around people like that, right? I mean, I'm sure you have people like that. It's like, when you see them, it's like, here he goes again. Right? And it's just all this negative energy in the room. And we miss out on what is up ahead. And we forget God is in control. And so then of course, there's the potential danger of falling off the cliff. Why? Because we're just constantly looking at the back. And, they're trying to renovate this stage. Okay, this is the original stage of 2003. Okay, but they're fixing it still. So I'm almost afraid because there's steps, right? I don't want to fall off this whole thing. And so it's like when you keep moving and you don't look to the front, you can potentially fall. And so that's the problem sometimes when, I was talking to a guy yesterday who, he and his wife has a PhD on counseling. And he says, my wife and I talk about this a lot. And she does a lot of trauma counseling. She does a lot of people who have gone through molestations and just family counseling. And it's important to be able to visit the past. It's important because you want to be able to acknowledge the pain and even experience the pain. But you don't want to stay there. The goal is healing. The goal is not to camp at the pain. The goal is to find healing. Everybody follow? And so here what Paul was saying is forget what is behind. And he talks about, and when you dig deeper, what he's talking about is sin, suffering, success. Okay, if we can unpack it that way. Sin meaning I'm no longer camping there. I was a chief of all sinners, 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says that. I've caused the murder of Stephen or the death of Stephen. And he's done a lot of different things in the past. And I'm no longer staying there. And so sin, he says, I'm no longer going to pursue it. How many of you know sin is pleasurable? The Bible says in Hebrews. I think chapter 11. Sin is pleasurable, but only for a season, for a moment, the Bible says. Now, if sin is not pleasurable, why do it, right? And it is pleasurable, okay? But it's only for a season because the devil will bait you in. You've probably done this, right? Holiday season. It's just good food, lechon, sisig, all of that food, right? And then chocolate cake with just the fudge and chocolate. It's all that, right? And then you eat a lot of it. And then the day after, it's like you feel, why did I even eat all that, right? It was pleasurable at the moment, but you regret the next day, right? And so Paul says here, let's not dwell on that. Let's move on from the lifestyle of sin. It's kind of like driving your car with your handbrakes on. Have you ever done that? It's like you forget to put down your handbrakes and it seems like it's so slow. You don't realize it's because the handbrakes are up, right? And so some of you here, that's the reason why it's hard for your Christian walk to go forward. Your Christian life to move forward because your handbrake of sin is up. Some of you, you need to let go of that relationship that's pulling you back. Some of you, it's watching that thing online. Some of you, it's conversations with office mates that don't really edify or encourage you. Some of you, it's whatever the list may be for you today, right? Let go and put down that handbrake and no longer let that stop you from moving forward in your walk with Jesus. Suffering also, sin, suffering. He says, Paul was mistreated. Paul was ridiculed. Paul was, you know, beaten up. He was falsely accused. A lot of things he had to go through. But he says, even that I'm letting go of. I won't dwell on that, he says. Right? Because Jesus is my goal. Okay? God has let us, has forgiven us. And one more thing I want to say about sin. Some of you have come to church first Sunday of the year because you feel condemned about last year. Or you feel like the devil's accusing you. You did this, this, and this. Let me tell you something. When you come to Christ and when you offer your heart to Him and you sincerely come into His presence, repent from your sin, the Bible says He will forgive you. Jesus will forgive you. And when He does forgive you, the devil will try to accuse you, but there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The condemnation is from the devil. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit. Conviction will pull us into the presence of God. Condemnation will push us away from the presence of God. That's the difference between the two. And so when you are now a follower of Jesus, you've been forgiven, right? And condemnation has no place in your life because you have been forgiven. Now, I just wanted to say that because some of us sometimes come to church to try to clock in. It has to be an overflow. Why you're here today is because you love Jesus and because Jesus has loved you. Now, Isaiah 42 says, I am the Lord who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember your sins no more. I will not remember your sins. That's the promise God has once we come to Him in repentance, right? Now, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Even the successes, if you think about it, right? We are to delight in them. We are to rejoice in them. We have to celebrate victories, but we don't want to dwell in it. Okay, because there's a few more, there's a lot more, not a few more, but a lot more God has for us in the future. Now, moving forward, okay? He says training, not just forget what is behind, you strain forward or toward what is ahead. Okay, that's what Paul said. Now, he says, press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward, okay, in Christ Jesus. Now, the picture we're given here is to keep pressing forward, to keep moving forward, to keep straining towards, you know. And so, if you've been to the MRT, whether here or another country, right, when it's rush hour, have you tried that going in? People press in on you and say, like, you're pressing in. And that's the idea. It's not just nonchalantly walking in, but you're pressing in. You are straining forward. You're not letting go and you're not letting anybody stop you. And so I want to encourage you today. Okay, guys, listen. Know Christ this year through His Word. I want to challenge you this year. Get to know Jesus by reading about Him and getting close to Him through His Word. Not just by listening on a Sunday. Not just by, you know, scrolling through Instagram for verses. Right? But to actually get your Bible, okay? Get your physical Bible, okay? Or if the gadget works for you, just turn off the notifications, right? Just read it every day and talk to Jesus. That would be my challenge for you. And there are a lot of plans out there. You can go to the Bible app by YouVersion. There's another app by Through the Word. There's many different plans out there that you can get involved. Or you can just go straight, one chapter in the Old Testament, like Genesis, and then one chapter in the New Testament, Matthew. And then just do that every single day. Just read Scripture every day. That will be my challenge for you this year. And I hope that could be a goal for you. If you slide back, that's okay. Pick it up the next day, all right? And so some of you might have heard of SOAP, soap, okay? Oh, let me share this with you first, okay? There's a study that was made when a person reads Scripture four times a week, okay, loneliness drops 30%, anger issues drop 32%, Bitterness in relationships dropped 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Dryness spiritually drops 60%. Viewing pornography drops 61%. Infidelity drops 68%. Sharing your faith jumps 200%. Discipling others jumps 230%. Okay? This is from Lifeway Research. Okay? You can search that online. And I just wanted to show this to you because there are benefits. Yes, we will know Christ, but there are benefits, fringe benefits of what brings into our, what the Bible reading brings into our lives, right? Now, read scripture and then observe it. And what does the Bible say? And then hopefully apply it. And then anybody here, you journal. I hope you journal. I hope you can do that discipline as well. Find a notebook, okay? Find somewhere to write on, okay? I know we all use gadgets. I've gone back to a notebook, our physical notebook for my own devotions because it's good to write. And so whatever works for you, but just the goal is do it, okay? Whether gadget or paper, just do it, okay? Just connect with Jesus. Another way to do it is when you read scripture, okay, you read a verse, what does it say? Okay, and then what does it mean? And what does it mean to me? I'm giving you different ways to read scripture. How do you actually get in the word and dig and mine into the word? Okay, so what does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? Okay, now, finally, I'll end with this one, pressing on toward the goal. So he said, forget what is behind, okay? Strain forward to what is ahead and then press it on toward the goal. Now, before I talk about that, you know, our goal is Christ-likeness. Our goal is making sure that Jesus becomes and stays as the goal. And you have, you know, you've heard of the silversmith, right? That, you know, when the image shows up, you know that the impurities have been. And so for us, for you and for me, we want to keep pressing on to the goal so that Christ becomes the prize and Christ-likeness becomes the result. So you and I would become more like Jesus Christ. You see, trials don't come random. They have a purpose. Okay, and so going through that fire is God taking out the impurities. And through that, I pray that you would continue to press on toward the goal. A lot of people end up giving up in their faith because they don't see the finish line. They end up giving up on their walk with Jesus because they don't stay focused on the finish line. What's the finish line? Jesus. Imagine for a moment, okay, a race without a finish line. It's going to be hard. Okay, let's say a lot of the races are in Clark, right? And so let's say you start in Clark. And then the end of it is in, let's say, in Pampanga. It's like a 50K run, okay? In Pampanga, let's say, Porac, right? But they move the line. Okay, no longer in Porac. It's now in Tarlac, okay? And then, oh, when you get there, oh, it's not. Oh, it got moved. It's now in Baguio, okay? Oh, it got moved again. It's now in La Union, okay? Surf muna tayo, diba? And so you think about when you don't see the finish line, it actually discourages you. And that's why sometimes people give up on their faith. It's because their finish line is making money. Their finish line is having a good life. The finish line is getting married. The finish line is having a vacation home. The finish line is being able to travel the world. The finish line is whatever else that you can put in the blank for you. And that's why I want to ask you that question. What's your finish line? Who is your finish line? And so, again, we start the year with one goal, all of us. I'm proposing to you, all of us have the same goal, Jesus. That would be my proposal for us. Now, how that shows up in our lists or in the way we live our life this year, it will be different. Some of you, you know, an hour a day of reading. Some of you, it's listening to more podcasts. Some of you, it's reading more books. It will be different for every person. But the goal, overarching goal, will be the same. Jesus. And so that will be my proposal for you. I hope your finish line is going to be Jesus. The one to end. And you know, when you run a race, anybody here has run races, right? When you run a race, like last year, by the grace of God, I was able to run 4 duathlons. No? And so when towards the end of the race and when you see your family there, it's just the joy, right? You're going to run fast. You're going to strain forward. You're not going to give up. Okay, number one, there's cameras looking at you. Okay, it's gonna show up on their website. Okay, so you run guapo as you can, diba? And so, right? And so you do your very best. You don't give up. Okay, you're excited. You know, even if your body's hurting already, you keep going. Listen, some of you keep going. Keep going. And in the spirit of God, I just want to say that some of you here. Keep going. Stay the course. Don't stop. Don't quit. It's too soon to quit. Don't let go of your faith. In fact, the finish line, you're going to get there. And hopefully it's years from now. Okay? Hindi naman bukas or this week. Or, diba? I mean, there's still a lot of things that we want to see happen in our lives. And the Lord will use us. But keep Jesus as the prize. Not something, not another person. Keep Jesus the prize. Okay? Let Him be your finish line. He's our goal. Okay? Now, as we end, what does that actually look like? I'll give us a few practical things too as we end. Invest your time in the Word. Again, this week we're going to focus. The theme of the prayer and fasting is set apart. And I love the theme. Because if you hear the heart of Paul, what he was writing to the Philippi church, he said, I will lay hold of what Christ has laid hold of me. The way Jesus pursued me, I will pursue Him. At the base, at the foundation is the gospel. We are able to love God because He first loved us. The reason why we can pursue Christ is because He pursued us. Follow? And so it's important to understand that. And so when we talk about being set apart and pursuing holiness, okay, what we want to be able to do is not so that we can gain favor from God, because we already have the favor of God through Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. And so now we propel ourselves to pursue holiness because we want to bring honor and glory to Him. Because He's pursued us, we want to pursue Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, strength. And so invest time in the Word. That will be my prayer for us. That this year, make that an endeavor. To read the Bible every day. If you haven't gone to reading the whole scripture for the whole year, maybe that would be a goal. If not, at least read every day of this year. That would be even one verse a year, one verse a day, two verses a day, three. If that's a start for you, then that would be a wonderful start already each and every day. If it's a chapter a day, then wonderful. Number two, enjoy conversations with Jesus. I framed it this way because sometimes when we talk about prayer, it has a lot of different connotations. But here's what I want to say. Just enjoy having a conversation with Jesus. Just talk to Jesus. When you're in the office, okay, when you're at home, when you're during your quiet time, just converse with Jesus the way you would converse with a friend. Talk to Him. Speak to Him. He's wanting to talk to you. He does. And third, worship. Whether that's personal worship or corporate worship. And I pray, I want to encourage you. You know, I'm sure we're full today, okay, corporate worship. But let it be an endeavor for you that you would come week after week after week. And listen, Paul says, join me in suffering. And I know sometimes it's hard to park. Sometimes it's hard to wake up in the morning. So I have to dress up, pa, diba? I have to bring all, you know, especially if you have, how many of you have kids and toddlers? Raise your hand. Okay? Those of you who have kids and toddlers, small kids, it's a production. I know, I have 4. Okay? And so it's a production. Whenever you bring all your kids, And then somebody poops. And somebody says, Mom, I'm hungry. Right? It's a game. Oh, sige, let's not go. Let's just watch online. I mean, that's the easy thing to do. But just come. Worship. Worship personally and worship corporately. Okay? Later, we'll have extended worship. And those of you who can stay, you're welcome to stay. I know some of you might have lunch plans, and that's fine. 4, pursue Christ with spiritual family. Don't forget fellowship. Somebody asked me the other day, 2 weeks ago, said, is it possible, Pastor Paul, is it possible to be a Christian just by yourself? I don't know if it was a trick question or I was trying to think, okay. Well, technically, yes. That would be my answer. Technically, yes. I mean, the guy on the cross, okay, remember me when you enter your kingdom. From this day forward, okay, he didn't say, okay, attend small group first, huh, or you go to church first. Huh? No, he says, from this day forward, you'll be with me in paradise. So it's very possible for a person to be a Christian by yourself. Yes. But to grow, to mature, to thrive, right? You're going to need the people around you. Okay, I hope you're thankful for people around you, for spiritual family. Okay? Tap the person beside you if they're a friend. Even if they're not a friend. Okay? Say thank you for walking with me. Diba? Thank you for journeying with me in this walk with Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join a victory group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us in discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.